The Hyundai Staria Load fits in everything from $49,490 drive away. T's and C's apply.
The Run Home with Kimbo and the Rooch. Good afternoon, 2 minutes past three. Welcome to the show. Kimbo on the Rooch with you live from Studio Lumo SA as we head into tonight's blockbuster between Brisbane and Collingwood at the Gabba. That's going to be huge. AFL Nation's live coverage with Jared Waitley, Matt Hill and Dermy gets underway at 6.30 tonight. Looking forward to that one. We're here thanks to Hyundai and McGain Real Estate, sold by McGain again. Let's welcome the Rooch.
What's the matter you? Hey, got no respect. What do you think you do?
Nothing.
Why you look so sad?
Why?
It's a not so bad. It's a nicer place. Ah, shut up your face.
It's a not so bad. It'll be bad for Collingwood or Brisbane tonight.
Might be bad already for them, Kim, at 0203. But anyway, happy Maundy Thursday to you. Happy Easter to everyone.
Oh, that's right. It is too, isn't it?
The season has arrived. Hot cross buns.
How many you had, Rooch?
Two so far.
Oh, have you?
Yes.
All right.
Not today.
Did you buy them or?
Oh, wow. It's always that, isn't it? It's
always no, that. I reckon you would have popped around your mum's to get some freebies.
No, I haven't been there yet. But
haven't you?
No, I've had some neighbours and friends say, hey, have a hot cross bun.
Oh, beautiful.
No,
that's
yeah,
what,
why
that's what neighbours
why
are for.
Why not?
Yes, my sister bought some, so the rat and I have been hoeing in them. They're good. Still bloody in the house. I reckon it's going to be August now. Anyway, people don't want
you'll
to hear
miss
about my
them.
Problems. No, I won't.
Sorry, Leanne. Sorry, John.
We're here thanks to Hyundai. The Hyundai Staria Load van fits in everything. I don't know how we're going to fit in tonight's show, Rooch, so bear with me. It's going to be a busy one, all right?
Okay.
And we want people to get involved, though. 0427 154 166. That's the text line, courtesy of Montine Hyundai. All righty, at 3.30 after the news, Matt Doldig, the Sandford General Manager of Footy, will join us. We'll throw a few questions if you have any
questions.
Season
opens tonight.
Yeah, if they have any questions regarding the Sandford season, by all means, send us a text. Big game at Cooper Stadium. That's at 7.40.
Nord v Sturt.
Yeah, and the AFL game gets underway at 7 o'clock. 3.45, Rooch, we'll be doing our footy tips thanks to Harvest Hotels. Fairly easy round this week, famous last words.
Yeah, well said.
Yeah, there's only a couple of dicey ones, yeah. I think. At 3.50, we'll be joined by Kane Corns.
Hello.
Well, it's the big...
Hello.
Hello. I've got the wrong bit of paper here. Having a bit of trouble with the eyesight at the moment. The old little migraine snuck in.
Oh, dear.
I know. I raced down to get a sugar hit, Rooch, and I've grabbed a bloody bottle of Coke Zero. No sugar in it. The gathering fight night. It's a big thing. We know that Kano's a little bit nervy about it. He's been training really hard.
Mm-hmm.
There's some serious and qualified boxers on the professional card.
Yes.
But there's a heap of AFL former stars having a crack at each other, Rooch. I think Kane and Nathan Brown's the first fight.
Ooh.
Is that because they're the worst?
I don't know.
Well, it might be.
Well, who else is on the card of AFL footballers retired?
All we're hearing about is Kano and Nathan Brown. But
yeah, well, that's because Kane's got a target on his back.
Yeah, but Dane Swan takes on Dale Thomas. That's interesting. They were teammates.
Wow.
This one interests me a little bit. Mitch Robinson versus Kane Pettifer, former Richmond player.
Gee, Mitch Robinson, I wouldn't want to meet him in any dark alley, let alone a boxing ring.
You never know. It is a craft and a skill.
True.
Maybe Kane Pettifer knows how to box. Then we have the heavyweights, Anthony Rocker versus Corey McKernan. I saw them on the Sunday Footy Show a week or so ago, and they're in pretty good nick, the old boys.
Right.
They're not young. Yep. And then, of course, there's all these serious fighters. So we'll talk about that with Kano when he joins us.
Okay.
Matt Hill joins us at 4 o'clock, the world's greatest race caller, who's a very, very good football commentator as well. He'll preview tonight's game. Beat the Boys, Rooch, is back. Thanks to Peter Page Hyundai.
Yes, beat us in the best of three questions and you're in the draw.
Love your enthusiasm, Rooch.
No, because it's always me, isn't it? Me in the hot seat.
Yeah, well, because you've been shit at it. you're an easy cue.
Thanks for building my confidence.
Well, Rooch, the record's there for everyone to see.
Well, it hasn't been that bad this year.
This year you've drawn a couple and did you win one?
Yeah,
well, it's been a draw. Yeah.
I've won one.
Yeah, but, I mean, the record's there, Rooch. You owed me 18 coffees. That's for being wrong 18 times. You've paid three off, you're down to 15.
Oh, there's only so many hits you can take.
Toughen up. Get you in the ring with someone. Hey, ring now. Ring now, talking of rings. If you want to participate in Beat the Boys, we'll do that at around 4:15. But first caller through right now, you can have a crack at either Rooch or myself in the quiz. 1-300-736-736.
Right.
All right, if you want to have a go, because fuel's not cheap. $200 free fuel. On top of that, Rooch, we have unmissable moment. Scotty Burns, I caught up with him a little earlier today. You had commitments. It's always good to talk to him. Yes. I asked some stupid questions on your behalf, the ones he didn't like. I said, oh, Rooch sent them in.
Oh, how am I supposed to cope with this?
No, not really.
Did you do the Max Michelini one?
I wanted to. No, I was going to.
Wow.
I was going to and I didn't get to it. I got distracted.
All right. We'll never know anyway.
And then there's the Friday forecast. So a lot to get through, Rooch. All righty.
Big show.
Let's jump into it around the ground. So there's not good news for the Adelaide Crows.
So Jordan Butts came out of the game on Friday night with an ankle concern. Didn't train fully. What was it, Wednesday? Fitness test today, and no, he's out. That's it, gone. Another hit to the Adelaide defence.
So James Borlase comes in for him. Now, I stand corrected on this, okay? I may be wrong, but I believe the travelling emergencies will be Sam Berry and Elliot Himmelberg. Now, that in itself means Sam Berry's been dropped.
Yep.
So I would say Ned McHenry comes in.
Right.
And then maybe Lachie Scholl or Luke Nankervis, but that's just guesswork.
Okay.
All right, so we'll wait and see.
Big game for Adelaide. They don't want to be 0-3.
No, that might stuff them right up, Rooch. Yep. All right, some really big news coming out of Carlton for their Good Friday clash with the Roos.
Well, their defence is going to be much, much better when you look at names on the team sheet. Mm. Jacob Wiedering, Caleb March back to do a defensive duo system there. That's big news for the Blues.
Yep.
And
yeah, come on.
Remember at Gold Coast where Elijah Hollins had a little moment that was now part of the headlines anyway now about using illicit drugs, copped a 2-game ban. Well, that's clear. So he's back in the lineup as well.
He debuts.
I dare say that just saying illicit drugs is going to open a door, isn't it?
Oh well, we have to talk about it again. I genuinely think this is one of the great beat ups. I often say this, but this is how the media works, Rich. This rule has not changed in 20 years.
If I could have a moment of whereby I could get Andrew Demetrio, Gillon McLachlan and Mark Evans in a room again, like we were in 2014 when they said, guys, we've got a new policy with the players' union. These sheets that we give you every year, and I've got this one that I printed out, the last one ever, of all the illicit drug tests done year by year, how many have failed the first test, second test, etc., what substances were in the tests. We're not giving you that ever again. I'm going, guys, that's a mistake. Because once
they didn't name anyone though.
No. But we had a profile on how many tests, whether there were more and more failures or whether
why have we missed it?
Well, what it's done is now it's led to a perception that it's all been covered up. It wasn't being covered up.
No, that's because it's the way it's been reported.
Now, the tests have been going on for 20 years.
Mm.
It is no shock to me that club doctors are going up to play saying, you know what, we need you to come into a room and give us a sample.
Yeah.
They are trained to look for certain things, aren't they? Mm. And then there's a list. You know what, you're going to be randomly picked week by week here. Because we've got to keep an eye on things.
Yeah. And then there's the players that possibly do have a problem, and then they can rort the system a little bit self-reporting.
Yeah, they self-reported. And then once you're on the strike, every test after that's a failure is not counted as a strike because you're supposedly in rehab.
Mm.
Now, okay, there are some big issues. We've debated this policy for 20 years, Kim.
So
all of a sudden people say, oh, secret tests. They haven't been secret. They just, the results haven't been given to us.
I love that.
I always thought that was a mistake.
Yeah.
That's my view.
And look,
that was my view.
My point here is that this is nothing that's really new. And I loved it. I was in the car last night and I heard Blighty and Wilds and they opened their show and Blighty launched. He said, where have these journos been for 20 years?
But worse than that, where are these club presidents, club CEOs and coaches who are trying to say, oh, we didn't know this was going on?
Mm.
Now, you can't say you didn't know this was going on.
Otherwise, you're failing in your job. Your boss said that, didn't he?
Well, you remember when he first became president and we were debating this policy, he was going, we're going to have zero tolerance support. We're going to have hair tests. And the players' union came and said, hang on a minute. And remember, zero tolerance. Anyone who fails a drug test at Port is out.
Mm.
And I want to know, if these people are saying we didn't know this was going on, may I remind you, the AFL actually sends you a profile of your squad. Gentlemen, there have been 332 tests at your club. Six players have failed. Two are on two strikes. These are the substances being done. We will not give you the names because we're not allowed to. But
well,
this
why
is
are
the
they waffling on like this?
What is going on here?
Yeah, it's all right for Koshy, say everyone has hair tests. He doesn't have any hair, Rooch, so he's safe, isn't he? All righty, we need to go to a break.
He might be like me. It grows in the wrong places.
I don't want to think about that, Rooch. Creepy, awkward. All right, we're going to hear from Paul Marsh, who's the president of the
CEO.
The Players Association. Had a lot to say today on various
about time
networks.
Too.
Yeah. We can't play it all, but we're going to play a little bit. We're up and away. We'd love to hear from you. Get the text coming in on 0427 154 166. Or if you'd like to have a quick chinny, blaming the migraine for stumbling, Rooch, ring on 1300 736 736.
Good.
The Hyundai Staria load fits in everything from $49,490 drive away. T's and C's apply.
The Run Home with Kimbo and the Rooch. On a Thursday afternoon, if you've knocked off early and you're heading off on holidays, take care on the roads and have a wonderful, wonderful long weekend. We're live from Studio Lumo SA, located at number 1 King William Street in the city. Energy from an Australian-owned company, that's Lumo SA. Rooch, I know a lot of people get up and about regarding the drugs issue. Other people, it bores them to death. What we're going to do is play a grab from Paul Marsh, another one from Andrew Demetrio. Then we'll leave it alone, but if people want to have their say, we will we'll definitely read out your text, all right? Happy with that?
Yep.
That's a plan?
Yep.
Let's hear from Paul Marsh on the illicit drugs policy's purpose.
The illicit drugs policy, and this is, it's one of those things where we've picked this up, and it is very much about the well-being of the athletes. We don't want our AFL players taking illicit drugs. They're a health risk, and we would love to see a code where players aren't doing that. But what we do know is that there's a huge number of people across our country. I think the latest stats put the number of people in Australia using illicit drugs in the last 12 months at $3.4 million. That's about 15% of our population. So this is out there. And so rather than putting our heads in the sand and expecting our players to be perfect, what we're trying to do here is find a way where we can identify if players are taking illicit drugs. We can then have an intervention with them and start trying to help them. And we've had a lot of success around this. Now, I know you'll get to the confidentiality point and you'll say, but we don't know about that, and I get that. But the reality of this is it's about trying to put a medical approach in place, change behaviours, and have our players come out the other end of their time in the AFL. You know, if they have had any issues in this space, we've actually put really intense help around them and get them out and transitioning as good as we can.
Here's Andrew Demetrio, who implemented this policy, Rooch, saying the bottom line is it's helped a lot of people due to being a welfare model.
The bottom line and the most clearest thing I can say is there are several players over the years that I am aware of who have been rehabilitated, who have been treated for illnesses that are completely unknown to many people and that have come out the other end much better for the experience. And that could only have happened with this welfare model. And you've seen the club doctors and the medical association come out and support that proposition. It is a purely a welfare model. It's not a punitive model. It's not there to catch your gotcha moments, to somehow, you know, rid the system of people taking illicit drugs. I mean, that's for others to do. And sometimes people make mistakes. We saw two AFL women the other day make mistakes, and they've been dealt with accordingly. But, you know, it's actually not the policy itself that causes players to take illicit drugs. There are other factors that cause that, and the broader issues that happen in society. There are judges that take illicit drugs. There are surgeons that take illicit drugs. This is a problem that the community is facing. But, you know, thank God we have got a policy that helps and tries to remedy some of these situations that occur with players.
Yep, there are two grand statements there. We've got a policy in place that's designed to help the players through difficult moments, which they're all going to land in.
Yeah, no question.
It's not the punitive one. It is a welfare one. Now, we can debate which sort of policy you want. But understand, this has been going on for 20 years.
Oh, I know. Hey, really quick text. Glad that my mate Borlase is back. Kim, you disagreed yesterday, but I still think AFL drug use is higher than the much of normal society. Take sample players, for example. You think it's as high as the AFL? Yes, I do. They get paid peanuts and have to get up and go to work every day. Enough of drugs. Let's enjoy the footy. Matt and Brizzy will agree to disagree, Matty, but I agree about the football.
The Hyundai Staria Load fits in everything from $49,490 drive away. T's and C's apply.
The Run Home with Kimbo and the Rooch. Kimbo on the Reach with you on a Thursday afternoon. Thanks to Hyundai, the Hyundai Staria Load van. It fits in everything. And McGain Real Estate, sold by who?
Sold by McGain again.
Oh, I love
we
that.
We need to get the boxing ring announcer's voice into that now.
Oh, do all that's
going
right.
into the boxing
they're
ring
doing
again.
A little sponsorship with Kane Corns. Have we still got
get
Kano
ready
coming on the
to
show?
McGain again. Like that. Sorry, Mike. Just what work, you, workshopping.
I just spat everywhere then. Yeah, why don't you for apply for that gig then, Reach? You've been knocked back by it for every other Oval announcement, announcer job.
There's only so many knockbacks you can take.
You get up off the canvas. Don't be a sook. Hey, just repeat the news on Butsy.
Well, Jordan Butts has certainly been put on the canvas because his ankle is no good. Didn't pass a fitness test. That puts James Borlase back in the Adelaide side in defence against Fremantle. Yeah. Good Friday, Perth.
That's not too bad. Here's a text from Rick. Kimbo and the Rooch. Nankervis trained with the Rezzies this morning. Right. Okay. So he may not be in. I reckon Scholl will come in. Just repeating the news. We think Berry's out. He's a travelling emergency along with Himmelberg. Curtin trained but appearing to favour a knee. This has been the case for about 6 weeks or so. Could you ask the club why he's still playing when he is looking hobbled? Any long-term danger of doing this? He looks half the player he was before injury occurred. Ooh. I interviewed Scotty Burns. That was earlier because he's on the way to the airport. I brought up Curtin, any chance of travelling, and he's not. So I can't ask anyone because we've already done that interview. Let's hear from Matthew Nix, though, regarding the midfield minutes for Rochelle and Rankin.
Yeah, we're constantly looking at the midfield and I guess how we change that dynamic a little, support what he's already in there. I mean, Matty Crouch is in, I'd say, career best form. You know, he's, for the first two rounds of this season, been a standout. We've now got to put some players around that that might give us a little bit more explosive outside game. And we're doing that. We've done that right throughout these first two rounds. It'll just be a balance with that, making sure we get the right mix.
Yeah, wait for the interview with Burnsy. I ask about Laird. He may be going back, Rooch.
Yeah.
I know you're all over that.
Yes.
You'll have to wait for the interview when we play it after 4:30. Matt Daldig coming up next.
The Hyundai Staria Load fits in everything from $49,490 drive away. T's and C's apply.
The Run Home with Kimbo and the Rooch. Nearly 3:34 on a beautiful Thursday afternoon, 25.6 degrees outside, a cracking day. Hope you're having a winning day. If you've got anything to say about what's happening in the world of sports, send us a text on 0427 154 166. That's all thanks to Mourntine Hyundai Cheltenham. Put them on your shopping list. Daniel Thomas and the team, they are a ripping organisation. Before we get to our next guest, Matty Daldig, the Sample General Manager of Footy, let's hear from Matthew Nix on Brody Smith and his form.
He's not in his best form, and he's the one who's first to put his hand up with that. He's been great around the group. We'll do what we can to try and bring him back into form because he's important to us. You know, across half back, that's where the game really, that's where you get your rebound and where your attack starts from. You know, we hope we can help him with that and get him back into the form we know he's produced over the majority of his career.
Will we see Rory Laird in the back half? That's the big question. Roach back there with mate Wayne Miller. All right, big question. I don't think our next guest can answer that one. He's very knowledgeable,
though. I
don't
think he needs that responsibility either, Kim.
Yes, the Sandfield gets underway tonight, Rooch. Beautiful weather to open the season. Norwood taking on Sturt at Cooper Stadium. Kick-off 7:40 to find out a little bit more about round one and season 2024. We welcome the General Manager of Footy from the Sandfield, Matty Daldig. How are you, Matt?
I'm very well, Kimbo, Rooch. Thanks for having me on.
Are you excited? Do you feel like putting the boots back on?
Oh, I think everyone does at this time of year, don't they? Especially when the sun's out. It might be a touch too hot for me these days, but they'd be picking at straws. But yeah, no, really excited. Blockbuster tonight out at the parade. Hopefully sort of 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 out there. No excuses. So excited to get into it.
This might be a silly question. How do you determine what's going to be the first game of the season?
Well, it sort of depends what weekend it falls on. Easter obviously moves around. We're trying to get some blockbusters, some consistent blockbusters, and that's become Nord and Sturt on Easter Thursday. That just so happens to be round one this year. That's the way that one fell, and I think it's a pretty good way to start the year. Two really big clubs in the eastern suburbs, and we expect a big crowd.
So what's the argument for doing everything on Good Friday and not taking advantage of Easter Sunday or something? Are you concerned about the AFL fixture as well?
Yeah, look, that comes into it. The games at Adelaide Oval come into it. But also, we want to look after the players where we can.
Yeah.
There's always a lot of talk about the players. They work Monday to Friday. They put in a lot of time. So to be able to give them their Easter weekend off is a good reward for them and the amount of work they do. And plus, what we've found since, well, I'm going to say we pioneered Good Friday football, we've got fantastic crowds. We started off with South Adelaide and Glenelg down at Noarlunga a number of years ago, but we get great crowds right across the board now on Friday, so it's a formula that works for us.
Now, as the fans turn up to the gate for the first time, if they're not members or just going along for a look for the first time in a long time, what are they going to be finding as an admittance fee? What have you done with fees to get into games this year?
Yeah, we've kept the fees stable for this year, so what I'd encourage you to get online, $18, pre-purchase, walk straight through, scan your phone straight in. But you can cash or obviously FPOS at the gate, which is $20. So still very affordable night or afternoon out.
What about a pie pasty or the hot chips and a Coke? We saw there was an increase at the Adelaide Oval. What's happening in suburbia?
No, well, I think there might be a tiny increase, but there's still suburban prices. Very affordable, so you $20 to get in, kids free, so a family night out, a couple of beers and a pie and a Coke for the kids might set you back $40-$45, so a pretty good evening out tonight down at the parade.
So Matty, 2024, what should we be looking out for in terms of rule changes or rule interpretations this year as opposed to last?
Yeah, all pretty consistent. We've made the one change in line with the AFL. I think it's a good change, just the straight arm for the rucks in the middle and around the ground. But outside of that, the same rules, the different ones that they'll see on AFL when they're watching TV is the last possession out of bounds. We think that's a fantastic rule, and that's one we're going to continue to go with. It's opened up our game. It's made it a bit faster as well. So outside of that, you're just going to see some really good contested sample footy. And I think going into this season, every supporter should be confident that their team can push for finals as a starting point, but then be really competitive week in, week out. We're coming off the most competitive season in the history of sample last year with an average margin of around 20. So you can go to the footy pretty confident your team's going to put up in a good show.
Are the lines of communication between the sample and the AFL healthier or better than what they've been in the past in terms of trying to get uniformity between the same game?
Yeah, it's funny that as you go down, the rules continue to change and they change again at community footy as well. But now, look, we've got a great relationship with the AFL now. They understand that we're going to have a couple of differences, and I think that's healthy for your local product. But overall, the product that you'll see on TV at AFL or at Adelaide Oval is pretty similar these days to what you'll see at Sample. As I said before, we've got semi-professional athletes that are going to work all week, so you get a different style at times. But from a rules perspective, pretty consistent. And I think we get great feedback about our umpires. We let the game go. We don't over-officiate, and it makes for everyone to have an enjoyable day.
There is one Pandora's box that you've set yourself up for this week with the commission going with the 21-day concussion rule. Now, if we get to a final and it's Adelaide v Glenelg, and Glenelg's got a lad coming off concussion, he's got to wait 21 days, and Adelaide, as an AFL-listed club, only needs to go through the AFL policy. Are you going to be dealing with a Pandora's box if that comes to be in the finals?
Yeah, we may if it comes to light in the finals. And as with any sort of these rules, we're probably the one time it'll happen is the second semi-final. But look, that got a lot of discussion around the commission table and with the clubs. But reality is that This is a medical rule that's been introduced.
Yep.
While you don't want to have two different rules for two different players from the same incident, reality is we're listening to the experts. An AFL player can move straight into medical care settings that unfortunately just aren't available for our sample players who, if they're an incident at some point in that week, they need to get back to work. So we understand the differences there. Do we like having different rules? No. But we understand why we have to.
So Kim's question about the line of communication with AFL House, you're going to have a great opportunity with Gather Round with everyone here, but has the moment come where you need to sit down with Laura Kane, Josh Marnie, and really thrash out where is second-tier football going shortly? Because let's not keep the heads in the sand here. This National Reserves competition is going to happen.
No, absolutely. We've already started those conversations. We have great, healthy, robust conversations with the AFL, Laura, Josh. They were over here at the start of the season for the practice matches, so we took the opportunity to meet with them. We're having those similar conversations with both of the AFL clubs. Look, it looks inevitable, an AFL reserves competition, and what we need to do, whenever that does happen, 2028, before, make sure that the sample competition's in a great spot to flourish for another 150 years. And we're doing all of that work, and we're really confident, whichever way it goes, AFL reserves or not, we're going to have a really strong local competition. And what we know is that state league footy is really important for the whole fabric of football around the country, for the AFL and community as well. So we're doing the work, we're having great conversations, and our interest clearly lies in the sample competition and making sure we're around for a long, long time.
Well, Matty, round one looks a cracker. It gets underway tonight, 7:40 at Cooper Stadium, Norwood v Sturt. Then four games tomorrow, a beauty at Prospect Oval, my old club. 50-year celebration of the first game at Footy Park, North Adelaide taking on Central. I'm looking at the advertiser now. I can see my old mate Bronte Mumford in there. Rooch.
Look at Bronte.
I call him Rex.
And they're still arguing about who had the first kick on May 4, 1974.
Oh, no, Tommy Zorich has claimed that one, well and truly. He's not shy about it either, Tommy. South Adelaide take on Adelaide at Flinders University at 2:10. That's tomorrow. Eagles and West Adelaide, that's at Mornington Kia Oval. And then Glenelg and Port at Stratorama. That's one of Dobbo's, Mike Dobbins from McGain Real Estate's company, Stratorama Stadium on Friday. Hey, always good to chat to you, Matty. Let's hope there's big crowds and good footy.
Yes.
Thanks, Kim. Thanks, Rich. Appreciate your support and look forward to seeing you at the footy.
Love your work. We'll be there. There he is, Matt Doldig, one of the good guys. Hey, Rich, we've had to switch things around a little bit.
Oh, so what are we doing?
Well, we're going to do the Friday forecast. Do you reckon I've done mine?
No,
I've got 5 minutes to get it right. Plus, we have to do all our AFL tips for the weekend, and that's thanks to Harvest Hotels.
The Hyundai Staria Load fits in everything from $49,490 drive away. T's and C's apply.
The Run Home with Kimbo and the Rooch. We are here thanks to Hyundai, the Hyundai Staria Load van. It fits in absolutely everything, Rooch, and McGain Real Estate, sold by McGain again.
Do you know those tricky third-party agreements? We remember it always with Kurt Tippett and Adelaide and Balfour's.
Mm-hmm.
It's tripped up the Western Bulldogs with their AFLW program.
Really? What's happened?
Oh, well, some third-party agreements didn't get added to the salary cap and so forth. They've been fined $20,000. It's been suspended in case of, you know, no more breaches. The $20,000 will just sit there as a warning, so to speak.
I wonder if that'll apply to Kane Corns. He's got a little sponsorship arrangement with McGain Real Estate.
Not under AFL rules, though.
On the soles of his shoes.
Nice little third party, is it?
Well, the organisation in McGain Real Estate say they're proud South Australians and they're supporting him, but why would you advertise on his shoes unless you think he's going to get knocked out and end up on his backside, Rich?
Yes, intriguing.
We'll ask him about that.
Unless he's going to lift his soles constantly.
Dancing around, float like a butterfly.
Sting like a bee.
Yeah, beautiful. All right, Rich, we need to do our tips. Thanks to Harvest Hotel, creating experiences, great organisation. Let's jump into them. We start with. I'm looking at the wrong page here, Rich. We start with
Grand
tonight.
Final rematch.
Brisbane and Collingwood. You'd be all over the Pies, wouldn't you?
No, I'm not. I've gone off. I'm off them. I'm sticking with Brisbane.
Yeah, I'm sticking Brisbane too.
And here's another one of these games where one team is coming off a bye and the other one's been going for three. This is just ridiculous.
Upset wouldn't surprise me. Either side's in bit of a mess at the moment. I think they can turn it around. Yes. I'm more comfortable with Brisbane turning it around.
Right.
All right, North Melbourne and Carlton. I need North Melbourne to upset someone that played in the top eight.
Yes.
I made that statement.
It won't happen this week.
Oh, you never know.
Well, yeah. Tipper than them.
No, I won't. Well, I'm happy to say that North Melbourne will be leading at quarter time.
Oh, really?
Well, I'm just saying
big
that.
Deal.
Have you not said? Oh, all right.
Big deal.
Well, you get out there and do better. They just improve slowly. They've been good in their first halves.
Okay.
All right, Fremantle and Adelaide.
I'm going with Freo at home. Now, I look at their form, Kim. I mean, I've been hot on what they're all about, but you can't knock them.
Well, you can. Who they beat last week? You didn't even do your homework, did you? Who'd they beat last week?
They beat North. I know that.
Good boy.
And they came back with a big, big blitz at the end.
Yeah, they did. They were down
a bit. They beat Brisbane.
I know.
You can't dismiss them.
No, you can't.
So you're doing one through the heart, are you?
No, I'm not.
Ooh.
No, hell no.
Ooh.
No, absolutely not. No, I just think Adelaide's a better side. But when I spoke to Scott Burns, like, obviously, you know, I put my coach's hat on.
You do.
Like a flog.
Yes.
Get a bit indulgent. And I say, please tell me you're going to put Ben Keys to Caleb Sarong. He wasn't very committal about it.
No.
That worried me.
But don't we now live in an era whereby it's all about territory rather than matchups?
No, absolute rubbish.
Oh, I disagree.
All right, well, let's disagree. Essendon and St Kilda, we may disagree here too.
Bombers.
Really?
Yep.
Hate it when we agree.
There's a few hits to St Kilda.
I know.
Be another one of Ross Lyon's master moments if he gets this
one. He's got them up and about, but I'm tipping the Bombers because they have the edge in their back pocket.
Yes, they do.
That's been successful.
Yes.
Port Adelaide and Melbourne, we'll be calling that on Power Nation.
I think Porter got this one.
Yeah.
Well, it's tough.
Not easy.
But I think they've got this one.
Jack Viney playing his 200th game. The
Get
boys
it.
Will be up with him.
Get
the bloke called Petrarca. We believe Oliver will play with a dislocated finger.
Yeah, got a feeling
Jake Lever will be playing still. There's a bloke called Max Gorn.
Well, Porter got some good players too, Kim.
Well, I've tipped them to finish top, so they better bloody win it. Yeah. Western Bulldogs, West Coast.
Oh, come on, you're not even asking, are you?
Well, I have to.
Bulldogs, come on.
Well, how much by?
54 points.
I'm going 15 goals. 90 points.
Wow.
Richmond and Sydney.
Sydney. Or Schwidney, as they're now known. Schwidney.
Oh, I threw that in. That was for the women,
Schwidney.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
Well,
that could stick.
Swans, Schwidney.
Schwidney.
Yeah. Schwans.
AFLW. Schwidney. Yeah. I'm Sydney. Hawthorn and Geelong.
Not quite the game it used to be.
No.
But still always entertaining. Geelong.
Yeah, I'm with the Cats. And two sides have the bye. That is Gold Coast and GWS Giants.
Was there any chance they might play each other next week, Gold Coast and GWS Giants, because they're coming off a bye? It can't be that hard to organise.
No, well, obviously it's not happening. That's why you're asking the question. Seriously. Hey, that's all thanks to Harvest Hotels. Visit the Blue Gums Hotel for a chance to win the ultimate footy final experience. Yep. T's and C's apply. It's Thursday. We normally do this late in the show, and we normally only do it on Fridays, but everything's upside down at the moment, Rooch.
Right.
Let's go to the Friday forecast.
Wednesday just don't go.
Bum, bum.
Thursday goes too slow.
This is pretty simple. We stole it off AFL 360. We have our sure thing of the week, our most at stake in our doomsday scenario. Before I get to that, there's a text come through about Kano. Isn't Kane being sponsored by Huggies? They're baby's nappies, Roach. Oh. All right.
I think
good on him for all those guys that get out there in the boxing ring. And for someone that's never done boxing before, good on them.
Hmm. See how it goes.
All right.
It's all good.
Your sure thing. Are you going to be a pussy again like you were last week?
Oh, look who's talking.
Hey, excuse me. I made my sure thing, Western Bulldogs, over the Gold Coast.
Well, you were really out on a limb on that one, were you?
Well, excuse me. They were undefeated. Everyone was saying they were top eight.
Right.
And you went, oh, it's going to be sunny.
Did I?
You did.
Did I say sunny?
You did something really wanky.
Right.
All right, what do you got?
Now, what is certain? When Port Adelaide plays Melbourne, is it Port Adelaide comes up with a trick or two for Max Gorn? That I am sure of.
That's
what I would be intrigued about is, particularly after Melbourne was towed up last year for not reacting, is there going to be a response this time from the Demons?
I like
One is
it.
Sure, One is to be seen.
Yeah, this will be interesting. Well, they've done it about the last five times they've met, so they'll be prepared
They've always got some sort of trick for him.
All right. Will they rough up Maxi again? I like it. My sure thing is Brisbane will beat Collingwood tonight, Rooch. Look at that. I could have gone Western Bulldogs over the West Coast Eagles, but no. I like to live on the edge. What are you pulling weird faces for?
We're really out on a limb again there.
Why?
Rightio, okay. That's all right. I thought you might have come up with something creative.
Well, I could say Adelaide will beat Frio.
I don't want a tip. I want something that's going to happen in a game.
Well,
you're
now
sure
you're changing the rules.
Rory Laird will play in defence. Yeah. Go with that.
No, I won't.
Oh.
Because I don't know.
Rightio.
And the Friday forecast, after 5 years, you're changing the rules. What's your most at stake?
North Melbourne in the Good Friday game, because if they get towed up again, there's going to be this whole debate, should they be hosting a Good Friday game, Kim?
Yeah, well,
it's been going on for a while now. Right. Can they stand up to the blockbuster time slot?
Yeah, 3:50 it gets underway, Adelaide time at Marvel Stadium. My most at stake is Adelaide. You can't be zipping three, Rooch, after all the hype and, you know, everything that they've been saying over the summer. Doomsday scenario for you?
Well, it unfolds tonight. Now, what we have is Collingwood are 0-3. The stats tell us you can't finish in the top four when you're 0-3. So that could be Brisbane as well, which if they're not in the top four and Collingwood's not in the top four, that is a major shake-up to our pre-season predictions, Brisbane being a grand final.
I don't think since there's been 18 sides that if you lose the first three games, there's ever been a side that's finished top four.
No.
I think. Stand corrected.
Now, 0-4, can you maintain a premiership defence? It's a long time ago. It's a 12-team competition. Malcolm Blight was in the side, so any miracle could have been happening there. But North Melbourne lost their first four in 75 and won the flag. I seriously doubt Collingwood can come back from 0-4.
Yeah, I don't think they've got the depth. All right, my doomsday scenario is Carlton lose to North Melbourne. I mean, they're getting all their big guns
But that's
back.
Not doomsday for you. That's proof of your great statement that they will get three big scalps this year. Well, that's not doomsday for you.
No, well, it's not all about me. I'm just saying it'll be a doomsday for Carlton and their supporters. Not about me, Rooch.
But you've put it on notice that North are going to get three big scalps.
Well, not necessarily against Carlton. I didn't even think of that. I just thought, given they're getting their players back, they had such a big miraculous win against Brisbane. Mm-hmm. They hung in there tough against Richmond. Imagine getting stars back like Wiedering and Elijah Hollands plays his first game and they get pumped by the Kangaroos. That would deflate them, wouldn't it? All right, number of texts.
Talkback would be very interesting then.
Number of texts coming through. Hope you were being facetious, Rooch, about the bye teams this week, as they do indeed play each other next week at Mount Barker.
Thank goodness.
Oh, no, he wasn't.
Thank goodness.
He just didn't know.
No, I was just saying how it's always amusing how they don't have the bye teams play each other.
Why would anyone make Kane the face of McGain? Well, he's not the face, it's the sole of his shoes.
Right.
And he's a good supporter of the station, Mike Dobbin McGain Real Estate. That was from Mario. Brett says, Happy Easter, the mighty Kimbo and the mighty Rooch. Big game for Port back at home, so hopefully we go 3-0. And Rooch, if you want to solve your coffee problem with Kimbo, just buy him a small tin of international roast or something that'll give him 18 coffees. No, I won't accept that.
Not the coffee, it's the milk.
He's tried that, Brett, anyway, because he's tight ass.
Milk, that's the key there.
If that one's come through again about Kane wearing Huggies, come on, guys. Workers in the real world get the sack on the spot if found to be taking drugs. Depends what industry you're in.
Yeah, depends where. Yes, as Andrew Dimitro says quite well in his quote that we played earlier, there are some pretty powerful people who keep their jobs once they've been exposed to drug use.
Well, we mentioned judges, didn't we? Here's another one. This is after our chat with Matt Doldig. Dearer at the gate, $20 cash than on your phone for a sandful. What a joke. That really caters for traditional supporters, not.
No, I think it's more about if you pre-book, you get a discount.
Please, a text comes. Sorry. Sorry, I just spat in the microphone. Modbury Max sent through this week's out. Joe Bloggs for marijuana, John Doe for cocaine, Johnny Disco for, it goes on like that. Come on, Modbury.
But his point is an interesting one. If all of a sudden, you know, this whole debate, which has really taken some twists, demands that there be transparency, how are you going to do that on the team sheet? Kim Dillon, out, marijuana.
Will you stop using me for an example? I've never even had a cigarette in my life.
Well, I've got to use some example without getting into trouble.
Well, use Brendan Lyons. There's three of us in this.
Yeah. No, you're big enough. You've got broad enough shoulders.
Yeah, shoulders looking good, actually.
How are they going to do that?
I don't know, Root. I find it tedious. I know it's an issue. But we're talking about something that's been going on for 20 years, as we said, like it's something new.
Yeah, well, I did say to Mark Evans that Andrew Demetri and Gil McLachlan that day in 2014, you put this in the no one's to see file, it will blow in your face one day.
No, I think we just would have had more commentary day in, day out if they'd still been publicising it.
People would have got tired of it. But at least it would have been transparent. Now everyone's going in shock. Oh, I didn't know this happened.
Really?
Well, what happened in the match committees when the doctor would come in and say, Kim Dillon's not playing this week?
Now people will think because I was injured for 870 games that I was on drugs.
You were, weren't you? Painkillers galore.
There was a text came through about a bigger issue as players getting jabbed. Did we get jabbed willy-nilly in the 80s and 90s, like a pincushion?
Well, we better go to a break.
Okay, no, it's not a break, it's the news. Yes. But one quick text here. Afternoon, Kimbo and the Roots. Surely the theme for Kane shouldn't be float like a butterfly and sting like a bee, but rather built like a butterfly, annoys like a flea. And that's from a port man, from Alan at Alberton. Very poetic there, Al.
The Hyundai Staria load fits in everything from $49,490 drive away. T's and C's apply.
The Run Home with Kimbo and the Rooch. Nearly 4 minutes past four, beautiful day outside, 25.9 degrees in the city. We're live from Studio Lumo, SA, located at number one King William Street in the city. Energy from an Australian-owned company. That's Lumo SA, Rooch, and our good friends at McGain Real Estate. Oh, now, they're very generous to us. What about this text? Mike Dobbin, who's the owner of McGain Real Estate, has probably paid Kane Corns to take a dive in his fight. I would trust Roochie before a real estate agent. Oh, I don't know.
Outlandish statements in there.
Yeah, I mean, I would trust a real estate agent before you any day, Rooch. And someone I'd trust my life with is the tipster of our lifetime, Matt Hill, who'll be calling the game tonight. He's up there in Brizzy at the Gabba for the Collingwood-Brisbane game. If you want to join us on AFL Nation, our coverage gets underway at 6:30. Geraldo will be up there, Jared Waitley, and Dermot Brereton. Hello, Matty. How are you?
Kimbo, it's lovely to talk to you. It must be a big game. If I got the call up for you guys, it's going to be a beauty. We are up in Brisbane, and I've noticed over the last 48 hours a fair bit of rain up here, but it's a lovely day today, about 28 degrees, so a bit of warmth in the air, and gee, the heat's on Collingwood.
Just before we jump into that, sorry, Rooch, we didn't get to speak to you last week. We spoke to Brad Johnson. He was absolutely brilliant. You are as well. But we wanted to thank you for your tip in the All-Star Mile. You were all over it.
Yes, Pride of Jenny. Well, what a fascinating race we have on Saturday in the Australian Cup, because she's going to have to extend another 400 metres. I personally don't think she'll do it.
Who wins?
She's only had one crack at 2,000 metres, and I reckon Mr. Brightside might get over the top of her this time around. And we know how strong he is at 2,000 metres in the Cox Plate of last year, just narrowly tipped off there. So I think Mr. Brightside will win the Australian Cup, but it's a fascinating race, and she'll be out in front. She'll be like Vaux Rogue, and she'll have a couple bearing down on her, just like the old Australian Cups of Vaux Rogue and Atalak, etc. It's going to be terrific on Saturday.
Vaux Rogue, was Cyril Small the jockey back in those days?
Absolutely.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, Cyril Small was the jockey. In fact, his son, Braden Small, is coming back from a really, really bad injury. He's a jumps jockey, and lovely to read during the week that Braden's coming back from shocking injuries that were sustained in the jumps for the last couple of years. So, Cyril Small was the jockey of Vaux Rogue, and of course Vic Rail was the trainer.
Yeah. Hey, is Cascadian in that race on the weekend?
He certainly is, because he won the race last year and was fantastic late in the All-Star Mile. So, and he's a bit of a price too. He's about double each way, and I wouldn't be surprised if he was really strong at the end.
Okay, here's my tip. Let's get into the footy, Rich.
So, Matt, it is the grand final rematch, but there's almost a sense that whichever team loses can forget about being in a repeat grand final.
Yes, well, of course, we've got this remarkable scenario where we've got two teams that are winless in Brisbane and also Collingwood. And, I mean, this is like a final for Collingwood tonight, playing at the Gabatoir, where Brisbane are just absolutely dominant. And, of course, Brisbane's been a bit of a bogey team for Collingwood, even though they played out in one of the great grand finals last year. Brisbane's run of six wins in a row against Collingwood was a record between 2020 and 2023, and the grand final broke that pattern. So Brisbane have had the woods over Collingwood, and the last time they met at the Gabba corresponding last year, it was 33 points. And I'm expecting a bit of the same. This is a real muddle for Collingwood to try and get themselves out of. Does Craig McRae stick to his usual plan? Does Darcy Moore lift? How can Darcy Moore lift the team after he's not playing well himself? Do they add some sort of spark in the middle of the ground? Do they throw an Isaac Quaynor in the middle? Because we know how good Brisbane are in the middle.
Quaynor in the middle.
It's left field, but it's, you know, what do they do? Because they're going to have to negate the Lachie Neils, et cetera, in the middle. So a spark's got to come from somewhere. It's going to be really interesting to see what sort of rabbit out of the hat Craig McRae pulls tonight.
He might only get the ears out tonight, I think. Who do you barrack for, Matty?
Personally, I'm a Western Bulldog. I was brought up at the Witten Oval as a kid, and a lot of cold days at Waverley Park and the MCG watching the Doggies. But it's funny, isn't it? I called the Dogs game last week against Gold Coast, and no real bias crept in, I hope. I think if you got me out in the outer with a meat pie and a can of Coke, a bit of bias has come out. But when I'm in the box, I remain pretty neutral.
Matt, what's your gut feel? Is it a Collingwood hangover, or has just everyone just outpaced them over the summer and actually beaten them in this race for improvement that every team talks about? Craig McRae said, we thought we'd improve, but we haven't improved enough. But what is it? Is it that they just have fallen back into the pack, or is it a hangover?
Well, I think my take on it is that we keep thinking of the invincible Collingwood that we saw through 2023, where we all believed for so many weeks that they were the premiers. And then, of course, it got very, very tight at the end, didn't it? It was really, really tight. A couple of teams could have made the grand final that didn't. It was a four-point game on grand final day.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm not really a great believer that teams have done the videos for 3 or 4 months and worked out a way to beat Collingwood. I think every team knows how to beat each other. It's just, can they do it on the day? And I think Collingwood, they're just maybe not hungry enough after they've put absolutely everything into it, 130% to win that premiership last year. And as you say, they're just being outpaced now.
Yeah, I think there has to be a mental drop-off. I think that's real. They are humans. They've lived on the edge for 2 years. Hey, Matty, your tip for tonight?
Brisbane. I have to say, I agree with that mental side of things. I'm going to say Brisbane by 4 goals.
I love it. Yeah, I think they're just getting a little bit frazzled, but they'll have a crack tonight. This will be their last throw of the stump. So here's a text you'll like. Matt Hill is my favourite race caller since the Silver Fox, Ray Fewings. That's Ethel from Ethelton.
Hello, Ethel.
Yeah, hello, Ethel. She's 95. Good on,
Ray, to my belief, Ray Fewings is still around. In fact, I think he trains some greyhounds.
Yeah, he does. He loves the doggies.
The Silver Fox. And just like Ray, I don't mind a scotch and Coke.
Good on you.
Well, go and have one now. No, after the game. We don't want you pissed when you're calling, do we? Hey, good on you, Matty. Really appreciate your time. Stay away from the pub.
Good on you, boys.
Here he is, Matt Hill. He's an absolute ripper. Need to go to a break, Rooch. When we come back, it's Beat the Boys, thanks to Peter Page. Hyundai, your home of Hyundai. They treat your family like their own. A chance for someone to win $200 worth of free fuel. All they have to do is defeat either Rooch or me in a best of three question playoff.
The Hyundai Staria load fits in everything from $49,490 drive away. T's and C's apply.
The Run Home with Kimbo and the Rooch. After 4:30, Scotty Burns will join us. We spoke to him a little earlier today. Well, I did. He's always a good chat, Rooch. He was on his way to the airport because right now the boys are up in the air on the kite.
Oh, I get it.
Yes, that's why we had to talk to them. Yeah. All right, time now for Beat the Boys. Thanks to Peter Page, Hyundai, your home of Hyundai. They treat your family like their own. Who do we have, Rooch?
Michael is there from Campbelltown. Hello, Michael.
Hi, Roots. Yeah, that's Campbelltown, South Australia, by the way.
Yes, yes, we gathered as much.
How are you going, Michael? Who do you barrack for?
Who do I barrack for? Oh, hi, Kim. How are you, mate? Haven't seen you for years. Last time I saw you in North Adelaide years ago.
Oh, yeah, still around
on
that.
Tint Street.
Yeah, I lived there for many, many years. No, I'm going well. Who do you barrack for?
Port Power.
All right, I picked you to come top. I hope I'm right this year. All right, you have to choose.
You picked us to come top, did you?
Yeah, I have, yeah, before the season
started. No pressure, Kim.
No pressure.
Pressure makes diamonds, Michael. We'll see if you're a diamond, all right? Now, you either take on Roach or me. Who would you like to take on?
Because I've met you before, I'll pick you, Kim.
Okay, wow. Beautiful.
Change of
Here we
script.
Go. The pressure's off Roach.
Sorry, Roach.
No, please. I was getting
Next
tired.
Time.
I was sitting in the hot seat.
All right.
Right, test your buzzers, lads.
Kim.
And your turn now, Michael.
Just
What do I got to do? Sorry.
Say your name.
So we know it's a buzzer. You just say your name. That's your buzzer. So give it a test.
Michael.
That's it.
Beautiful.
Michael.
That's it. Question one, lads. Who am I? I'm a South Australian born in 1992. I played my junior football at the Woodville West Torrens Football Club. I was then called number 14 in the 2010 National Draft. I made my AFL debut in round one, season opener of 2011, against Hawthorn. My father was, or maybe is, an avid Port Adelaide supporter until I donned the red, gold,
Kim?
And
I'm going in early.
The answer is?
Jimmy Tumpas.
Wrong.
Oh, I went early. I was a buffhead.
Wow. Continue on, Michael. Yep. I'll give you the rest of it.
Damn.
Red, gold and blue. My career highlights include all Australian selection and an AFL 22 under 22 selection. This weekend, I play my 250th game on Good Friday.
Can I have another one?
Nerves have got the better of me.
That's all right. Can I have another go?
No.
We only get one go.
So, Michael, that's it. You're not going to have a... Just have a stab.
He plays his 250th yes. on Good Friday.
Yes.
Brody Smith.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
He's gone.
Quick, we got 2 minutes.
Here is an audio question. You must name the game and the player.
Will he give it to Riebold? He will. Riebold runs in. Touched up to the spot. Oh, my goodness.
Can you believe that?
Wonderful
Michael.
Chase.
It okay, came Michael, who is the player? Which game is it?
It's Jack Riebold for Richmond.
No.
No, I'll go.
Yep.
Yeah, it was Heath Shaw and snuck up like a librarian on Nick Riebold.
Which game?
Yeah, it was the grand final.
Well done. Right. Yep. 1-1.
Okay.
Here's the tiebreaker. Nearest the pin. So you both get to have a guess here. How many runs did Travis Head make in the 2023 One Day International World Cup final?
Kim.
Right, you can go first as you came in first.
124.
Right, 124 for Kim. What are you guessing, Michael?
104.
It was 137 off 120 yes! balls. Sorry, Michael.
Oh, sorry, Michael, and I'm not a gracious winner. Hey, we appreciate you listening, Michael. Hope you're in good
and
health.
Can I just slip in one last thing?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Collingwood by 9 points.
Okay.
Oh, tonight. Well, that'll be a thriller.
Yep.
I'll be watching. Hey, good on you, Michael. We really appreciate you having a crack. We'll do it again next week, and we'll announce our winner. That was Beat the Boys, thanks to Peter Page Hyundai. Your home of Hyundai. They treat your family like their own. Thrilling victory, that one.
The Hyundai Staria Load fits in everything from $49,490 drive away. T's and C's apply.
The Run Home with Kimbo and the Rooch. Four 26 on a glorious Thursday afternoon. Send us a text. You can do that via the Mourn Team Hyundai text line 0427154166. Here's a text. Boys, after all this drug stuff, is the Melbourne bloke who was caught the dumbest bloke in the AFL, Phil? No, he wouldn't be because others would be doing it, Phil. Unfortunately, they all get well educated, but...
Make mistakes. They're human.
Well, it's a... People hate it when you say it. It's a recreational activity, an illegal one though.
Yes, so we expect better, but people will make mistakes.
Yeah, as they do in all codes of football.
And life.
All, yeah, and life. In all forms of life.
Yes.
Roach, our unmissable moment is thanks to DrinkWise. If you drink wise, you won't miss a moment. If you drink wise, what have you found unmissable?
I would say there are 17 AFL coaches who right now would be looking. And if they haven't, they've missed it. This was unmissable. Craig McRae, the Collingwood Premiership coach, in the firing line with Caroline Wilson from Footy Classified. And we've watched it before so often, Kim. As soon as someone in the media has a go at a coach, the next press conference, they're ready to go at them. We've seen Ross Lyon.
How dare you have all a go that at sort me, of. Yeah.
I would say 17 coaches would look at what Craig McRae did the first time that the whole Caroline Wilson, you know, not humble enough, didn't mention St Kilda after that loss, would say, smart boy, Craig. He has diffused this issue. This is how he did it.
Yeah, Carolyn, I apologise because that's something I really want to do. I want to be humble and gracious, and if I didn't give St Kilda enough credit, I should have, because that's a good observation.
Plead guilty and run.
Yeah.
Ends it all, just ends it, doesn't it?
Stops it dead in its tracks.
That was unmissable for 17
coaches. In his
defence,
normally someone will say, well, let's not forget, because it takes the heat off their side and himself, that the opposition was really, really good today. But he answered every question brutally, honestly. But no one asked him about the opposition.
No,
he's really not obliged. He's being asked questions about his teams. Yeah. I thought it was a weird one from Carolyn. I thought it was a little picky.
I think she was trying to hammer the point that this is a team that's done its hubris over the summer. And this was an example she was trying to put forward about how they've just so insular. I'm not saying they are. They're saying her image of them was they're an insular club that has just fallen in love with itself and has now tripped over itself.
Yeah, well, I don't think that's the case. They played two really good sides and then they were beaten by St Kilda, who's up and about at the moment.
True.
Here's a text. Well done, Roach. That's an unmissable moment. Yes. If you're choosing to have a drink, choose to drink wise, especially over the Easter weekend. Mm. Lads, I heard Dwayne Russell also say Adelaide would want to win this week after everything the club has said over the summer. What did they say? Can you play a snippet of it? Because I don't recall them saying anything other than they think they have improved like every other club. That's from Costa. No, Costa, they've made it clear that their objective is to play finals and to be as high up the ladder as possible. And if that means a double chance, why wouldn't you aim for that? They've owned it.
Plus the things they've said about wanting to be on Broadway and you know, be a high profile.
Hey, it's been nothing. It's been nothing over the top.
No, but it's a change of markets for them, and they need to step it up.
No, they did it last year. We said that they were very focused. They thought they were good enough to make the top eight, and they were proud to say it out loud. They just missed. There you go, Costa. Don't get defensive, and don't get angry. Can you please ask Matt Hill? Does he have any ambitions to call the footy full time? I really enjoy his race calls and footy calls. Oh, I only just saw that, Tony. I think he's happy doing both, and he gets remunerated far much more. That makes sense? Yeah, from the racing industry.
The Hyundai Staria load fits in everything from $49,490 drive away. T's and C's apply.
The Run Home with Kimbo and the Rooch. Just after 4:30, Kimbo on the Reach with you on a glorious Thursday afternoon, still around 26 degrees. Huge game coming up for the Adelaide Crows tomorrow in Perth when they take on Fremantle at 7 p.m. at Optus Stadium. They're coming off two losses, a six-point loss to the Gold Coast, 19 points to the Cats at home last Friday. And Freo, well, you can't do much more than win, and they've defeated Brisbane and North Melbourne. Only two games into the season, but things are getting a little tense. Let's find out more as we welcome Senior Assistant Coach of the Crows, Scotty Burns. Hello, Scott.
Kim, how are you going?
Yeah, not bad at all. It's weird, isn't it? Two games in, very small sample size, but you're already three games out of the eight.
Yeah, well, I hadn't quite looked at three games out of the eight, but when you've only played two, yeah, it's a little bit different year, isn't it? Look, things always even up as you progress throughout the year, and it's disappointing that we're 0-2, but we've just got to get on the horse straight away and bounce back and we're playing a team that's played some very good football in the first two rounds.
Expectations are high this year, so the natives are getting restless. Let's look at the positives first before we get into some of the possible negatives. A lot of the KPIs have been good, especially last week, but there just doesn't seem to be really good connection at the moment.
No, I mean, it's a little bit different. When you've only played two games and one was in the wet, there's the KPIs are going to look a little bit all over the shop at this point in time. So, like I said earlier, you need things to settle down a little bit before we can really have a good indication of where we're at compared to the rest of the competition. But last week was reasonably disappointing. When you get 66 inside 50s and you don't capitalise, it's certainly one that we should have executed a little bit better and got things done better in the forward half.
Let's look at the midfield. There's a bit of noise about it now. I'm feeling a little bit guilty. For a couple of years, as you know, I've been saying that Lairdy perhaps should go back in defence, not because he's not a gun midfielder, and I believe Crouch and Laird can play together brilliantly. I just think there's a need for experience in the back half. Do you think Crouch and Laird are working well together?
Towards the end of last year, definitely. It wasn't a conversation when Crouchy came back in. Like I said, on the weekend just gone, I felt that it was mainly a lot of our ball use from that attacking mid to inside forward 50, and definitely from forward 50 to completion, there's probably four or five that we'd certainly love to have back, but we haven't missed those opportunities for the last 12 to 18 months now. So, like I said, I think that everyone, I don't know if the talk is throughout the midfield, but certainly as a forwards coach, if you can get opportunity, which is 66 inside 50s, you certainly take that. And I think more of the issue is that we didn't capitalise on those entries.
Yeah, and 16 plus you're wearing clearances, and as you mentioned, 66 inside 50s, one contested possession. Normally that would win you a game.
Yeah, I mean, you look back on the vision, there's so many times that we've had shoulders out and we just have missed kicks, or kicks have hit the deck, or we're clean with ball in hand and we don't use that extra handball to really open up time and space. So, look, I'm not sure if it was a carryover from playing wet footy the week before, whether we just went a little bit too long rather than lowering our eyes. But it's certainly we've been practicing something like that sort of game style and offence all pre-season, and certainly you can see from how we played last year that was certainly a strength of ours.
We called the game from behind the goals at the River Torrens end for the first time last week because there are a lot of people over calling the game. You get a different perspective. Bix was certainly getting frustrated. I was. You could just see we didn't seem like, or Adelaide didn't seem like it switched as much as it did last year. Did you miss opportunities there?
We did. We may have missed. It's the obvious ones that you miss, Kim. Mm. There's times where there's those 50-50 ones on, should you go or should you not go, but there's probably four or five clear ones, and generally when you miss those ones, those really clear opportunities to move the ball, that can really get you into some good offensive flow. And I mean, we missed that, and we couldn't quite, we brought probably their defenders into the game by going straight line, but like I said earlier, that's certainly a part of it, and that was frustrating at times, but it was more the 12 to 14 times we had ball in hand through that attacking mid area that we didn't capitalise. But it's certainly something that the boys look at the vision, we go back and address it, and they're scratching their heads and they go, I don't know why I didn't take it. So, but what I did think, I thought the Geelong pressure early was as good as I've seen for a long time that first quarter and a half. So whether that put a little bit of doubt in the ball user's hands at times, which that may well have been the case.
Is it a slight lack of experience in the back half as well on that last line of defence with Keane and Butts and Worrell?
Yeah. Well, I guess we've got Murray. We can't do much about Murray with a knee, and Tommy Dudo's probably the other one that had a little bit of experience last year. But generally, our ball users, when you're looking at Wayne Miller and Brodie Smith and Mitchell Hinge, they're the three that really get us up and going. And I think Maxi Mifani's really added that to his game now as well. So, it's generally your bigger key position defenders, aren't your ball movers as such. They're breaking even or winning a contest and really getting the ball in the direction of those better ball users. So it is a little bit inexperienced, but it has been for a little while back there. And but certainly, in nulling Jeremy Cameron's influence, you'd have to give that a tick. And Hawkins is just an absolute star, isn't he? He didn't get a great deal of opportunities, but when he got him, he just finished. he's just been a terrific player for a long time.
He didn't miss. Hey, if Tommy Stewart was playing for the Dockers this week, how would you go about it?
I'd say to Fremantle, that's a fantastic trade. Got him. Yeah, look, we tried a few different things last week. Obviously, we went pretty aggressively 1v1 early, and it didn't quite come off. And then after that, we looked for some more instability through the midfield, and that actually worked really well. I think we nearly outscored them by about five goals there at a point in time to halfway through the third. So that was really working for us. We just needed to tidy up a little bit more in resetting as forwards. and certainly rounding him up and making it harder for him to be that unattended player, especially in the last quarter.
Hey, we've just seen some news now that Jordan Butts is out. It's come out on the Adelaide website. Can you update us there?
Yeah, just rolled an ankle Tuesday. Just got that message probably an hour ago as well. They gave me a little bit of a fitness test this morning. He was okay, but they just felt he was just going to be a tad off for this game. So James Borlase will come in.
Okay. And I was thinking, as a West Australian, was Daniel Curtin any chance? Will he be travelling at all?
No, I think he'll be travelling at this stage. We'll have we've got a few emergencies that will come over just in case anything happens. But look, he's still learning his craft back down there in the SNFL, and he hasn't played. You've got to be careful with these younger players at times. They haven't played senior football, well, not too much. He played a little bit for Claremont, but he just needs to play against the men for a little bit down there. And he's improving. We've been really happy with what we've seen, and we hope he gets an opportunity in the not-too-distant future.
We know you're on the way to the airport, so we won't hold you up too long. Brody Smith, a great milestone, 250. He's been a ripping player for the Adelaide Crows, but he's got off to a scratchy start this year. How's his state of mind?
No, I think Brody's always, mentally, he's always been in a really good position. He understands the game. When you play for this long, there's always ups and downs, and you're right, it is a terrific milestone for him, and he's even had the knee reconstruction, and still to get there at 250 at the age that he is a wonderful effort. And hopefully we can do the right thing by Brody and make it a memorable milestone game for him.
The Crows going to do anything this different this week with the midfield?
We might change one or two things. We have, it's quite interesting that I haven't read too much, but you do hear it indirectly, that we've obviously changed up a fair bit over the pre-season, and certainly the Gold Coast game with Rankin getting a fair bit of opportunity, and certainly pre-season we still had Rochelle and Pedler in there at times, so it has changed up from 12 months ago. I guess the difference is probably the inclusion of Crouchy, but Crouchy's been easily our best midfielder in the first 10 games. He's been absolutely outstanding. So, like I said earlier, I think there's a bit of blame going on to under the mids at this point in time, but if you looked at our ball use and getting things right forward of the football, I thought that hurt us more than anything in that past game. The first game's a little bit different, obviously, with those wet conditions, which is more of a surge game and a pretty basic game. So it's going to be dry conditions over there for Freo, so we're looking forward to when we do get the opportunity to have ball in hand to use it and make that Fremantle defence accountable at times.
It was a tough week for the big Texan, first game back and dealing with the loss of his father-in-law. Will he be better for the run?
Oh, you would have thought so. Twofold. I mean, it's obviously hard when you lose someone that close, and they were very, very close. And then if you just looked at performance and the physical side of things, he at times maybe looked a little bit scratchy with a few of those brambles, just missing that week and a half of training. And he'd obviously had a terrific pre-season. So just, I think this week that he's got back out and trained, he's looked 50% better. So I'd expect him to really be on top of the ground tomorrow night.
A fair chance Ben Keyes will go to Caleb Sarong? Please say yes.
not necessarily.
No?
Yeah, he's an outstanding start, Caleb, isn't it? Like, he's 40 disposals, and I think he's nearly averaging 20 contested. So if he's winning his own ball, he's been a terrific player for a number of years. In the past, it's been Brayshaw that's probably been the better midfielder against us, but they've got a couple of good young players that they've had for a while now. They both must be up to about 100 games, so they're not really that young. They're certainly experienced, and I think with the inclusion of Jackson over the last 12 months, they're a pretty solid midfield unit now.
Luke Pedler is only a young player, still learning the caper. How did he pull up after the experience on Tommy Stewart? Because it condensed someone's confidence.
It can. And look, it maybe it got to him a little bit in terms of the second quarter. We had so many opportunities, especially late in that second quarter, and he probably rushed a little bit more than he does in the past. And, he'd be the first to say that it may have got to him a little bit. I certainly, once again, we didn't help him by getting that ball offline enough to help Luke out in that role. But look, it's one of those things you need to go through as a player. You know, Kim, yourself, like, you just, there's a lot of ups and downs, and you have to learn from an early age. And like we've always said, you make one mistake or something doesn't quite go your way, the quicker you can get that, remove that from your system or get it out of your head and just move to the next contest, the better you'll be. But that actually takes time, and some players adjust quickly to that. Some players don't really care. Some of the best players, they couldn't care what happens. They're straight into it straight away, next contest. And, yeah, it was just, like, disappointing in the sense that he had opportunities in the second probably to put himself back in the game and be quite an influential player for us. So he'll get another opportunity. We want to make sure that, you know, he looked terrific up at Gold Coast when he won some contested ball up there. And we certainly want to give him that opportunity just to relax, go back to what he's good at and see if he can respond, which we're confident he will tomorrow night.
Scotty, this is going to be a huge game. The eyes of the nation will be on you. Friday night football at Optus Stadium. A big game for the club. No one wants to be zip and three. We appreciate your time. Have a good flight and all the best tomorrow.
No worries. Thanks, Kim.
Hit the button. There we go, Scotty Burns. That was from a little earlier today because they had to catch the flight. Just repeating, we believe that Sam Berry and Elliot Himmelberg were the travelling emergencies. That means Berry's been dropped. I'm not sure who else was on the kite, Rooch. Teams will be out shortly. Might be Lachie Scholl, Luke Nankervis.
Interesting.
Sure. You've got some breaking news.
We know that Dizzy Gillespie, the Redbacks coach, has a contract for next season, but it looks like he's going to seek an exit from it and go to Pakistan.
Really?
Coach there. Well, he has had an international coaching record through, Zimbabwe, England, now looking at Pakistan.
Well, we absolutely love him. Mm-hmm. That could be a win-win-win.
So Nielsen, as the high performance manager, went, 2 weeks ago? Dizzy's now said to be looking to go international again.
Yeah, I mean, the pressure's been mounting. Yeah.
Changing of the guard.
Had a fair
the Redbacks.
Yeah. Hey, a number of texts coming in. We're hoping Kano's going to join us soon. I'm just looking for him to be running across the road. Rooch, there was a funny text about him being a boxer that he'll have the highest GPS numbers ever. He'll be running around the ring. Run him off his feet. Okay. He's got some stamina. This is a nice text. Afternoon to the most educated men in sport.
Are we assuming it's us?
Well, it's addressed to us. Hope you are well. I'm an Essendon man. Want to pick your brains about our game against St Kilda. Yes. All the ins and outs, suspensions and injuries. How do you think the game will unfold? Steve from Seton. Look, we heard a little bit from Ross Lyon, we didn't actually play it, the changes that he's made with all the interviews, injury, and the suspension as well.
See what Ross puts on the park in the sense of tactics, because he's a tactical coach.
I'm tipping, in case you didn't hear earlier, I'm tipping Essendon.
I'm going with the Bombers.
Are you?
Yep.
It's going to be a fast game.
Yes, and we've seen where St Kilda's tried to put speed into the game.
Yeah.
But will Ross allow it to be that way?
Hang on, I've got a bite from Costa. Here's a text. I'm not being defensive, Kimbo. Ask Scott if he thinks they've talked it up over the summer. Would be interesting. That was a pre-record because they were catching the plane, Costa, or I would have. Now, they didn't talk it up, but they have mentioned that their aspirations are top eight and why not go for top four? So that's fair enough. Who was the better footballer out of Kevin Hill and Kevin McSporran? Oh, that's a question
to both of us.
I suppose. I actually played with both. Kevin Hill was an Indigenous half-forward flanker, enormous skill set, and, he could finish. You'd like him kicking for your life. And Mapsy, Kevin McSporran, who's no longer with us, was just a ball magnet. He was an era before me and spent his last year at Woodville and kicked the winning goal against the Eagles with 5 seconds to go, Rooch. History would say Kevin McSporran had the more glorified career. Appreciate that text. Here's a text from Brett. How is the old Costa going, Kimbo? He's normally flapping away with smart arsery. He's been pretty quiet since the season started. Oh, no, Brett, he's sending through quite a few texts. We love it. Roochie.
Yes, hello.
If you come to the parade tonight, we will name the brick wall after you.
Okay. Rightio. Well, but it's all provisional to Port Adelaide not being in the sand for.
Yeah, I know.
Not yet.
I know.
Not yet.
Roochie, you spanner crab.
Hello.
I prefer you asking questions, not answering them. You're not going to as many press conferences at the moment, Rooch.
Give people some space, see what happens.
Have you been banned?
No.
All right, just thought I'd start a rumour. What else have we got
here?
I'll
be at one tomorrow morning if you want to join me.
Today's winner is, this is from AJ, certainly not the audience to that segment. What was that from? 420.
Beat the Boys.
Oh, beat the boys.
Yeah.
I won that. I went too early. I thought it was the Tump. Carl, here we go. Kane Corns will be the first boxer in history to wear a GPS. He will cover 4Ks running from Brown's left hook. Well, where is Kano? He's meant to be here. Hey, You hear a door?
Here's a door.
He is here. Yeah. Oh, here he comes. Courtesy of McGain Real Estate. I think he's going to walk into the studio any minute. There's no real hurry, Rich. He's just walked in. He's gone over now to charge his phone, fill up his water bottle. All right. Whilst we're waiting for him, do you want to hear from Chris Fagan and Craig McRae about tonight's game?
Please.
Let's have a little listen. It's a big one.
I think it's going to be a fierce contest. Two pretty desperate teams who played off in the grand final thriller last year. So, you know, we're looking forward to embracing that contest, and I'm sure they are. So nothing less than our best will be required tomorrow night, and I'm pretty sure they'll be talking about the same thing.
Now, most things in life, you have adversity, you're better for it. We're living a bit of that now. I'm sure we'll be better for it, and this is a great challenge, an exciting challenge. I think we're going to enjoy gritting our teeth and go up and see what we get.
All right, it's going to be a huge game. Our coverage gets underway, AFL Nation, at 6:30. Matt Hill, Jared Waitley and Dermy. We're both tipping Brisbane. Just as Kane makes his way into the studio to talk about his big boxing match. Is that what you call it? Fight.
Boxing bout.
All right. They've changed the credit. Here's what's served up for 4 and 20. You can't have footy without a 4 and 20 pie. What's coming up, Rich?
Well, we've got Jared and Kane on Sports Day, and he'll have to tell us who the guests are because I don't have them.
Oh, no guess. Well, he can do that. That will be followed by Sports Day SA with Malcolm Blight and David Wildy.
Who are their guests?
No, they haven't told us either.
Why are they?
Who is it?
Hello?
Oh, they're previewing tonight's game. What, for an hour? Fair dinkum. 6:30, though, we 30 minutes, right, because at 6:30 we head to the AFL Nation call. The Pies taking on Brisbane. Come on, Kane! He's on his way in, I think. All righty, one more quick text, Rooch. As Kano makes his way into the... you'll get a bigger introduction on fight night, I tell you. As Mick Malthouse... I know, it's 27 degrees.
Goodness, it is.
Yeah, they've gone crazy again, Kano. Has Mick Malthouse lost his marbles? Did you see his interview on TV last night? We certainly didn't agree with it, did we, Rich?
Well, I'm struggling with any coach who says he didn't know what was happening with the AFL illicit drug policy. We've known it for 20 years.
And
certainly would have been in match committee sessions where the doctor would have come in and said, Kim Dillon's not playing this week.
Stop using me as an example, Rich. I'm going to knock you out. Now, let's hope our friend here, Kane Corns, doesn't get knocked out. The Gathering Fight Night is on next Wednesday, Rooch. Yeah, get a little bit of music. He loved this too. Kano, whack your headset on. You got us okay?
Yeah, I got you good.
Now, seriously, how are you feeling? We were speaking off record. You've never had a fight in your life?
No, never. No. Other than when we used to have a bad loss at Port Adelaide and you're walking on a Monday and the boxing gloves would be laid out there for you. So it's been a while. It's been a really good challenge. Obviously, you guys know I enjoy a physical challenge, but now it's the sort of the real stuff, jumping in the ring and trying to survive.
And we know how fanatical you are. You're obsessive with everything you do. When you were doing all your running, you lost that much weight. Mm. You're almost skeletal. You've whacked on. How much have you whacked on?
Yeah, I think it's about 7 kilos. I think I was 72. I'm 79 at the moment. So, yeah, put a bit on. I haven't been running as much, been in the gym and boxing 3 or 4 times a week, in and amongst everything else that's going on. So
what's Brownie weigh?
I think he's 83.
But you're taller? I'm a little bit taller,
yeah, I think so.
Now, let's talk about the night. The undercard, it's an AFL card. Are you the first fight?
No, so we're going to go fourth from the main event.
Okay. Yeah. Tell us about the other ones. You're taking on Brownie. That's been getting a lot of traction. Dane Swan versus Dale Thomas. Now, they're mates. They played together.
I don't know how serious they're going to be, but Dane Swan, I think, can fight and can fight pretty well. So that'll be interesting. Yeah, Corey McKernan's taking on Anthony Rocker. So that'll be interesting as well. But the one I'm looking forward to is Mitch Robinson and Kane Pettifer. Kane Pettifer can seriously fight. And Mitch Robinson is pretty mad. So that one is the second main event. So that'll be a good one.
Yeah, we had a text about that. We sort of questioned Kane Pettifer's background. And we know a lot of footballers can box. And a few texts came through saying he has a background in boxing.
I think he's had 3 fights before.
Would you like to be... Yeah, now, you're being remunerated for this. If you were fighting Mitch Robinson, would have you said yes?
No. They initially said Dane Swan and I said nah. And then Nathan Brown came up. I don't know much about Brownie's boxing background, but... He was a bit friendlier than Dane Swan or Mitch Robinson.
And he'd be worried about his hair as well. Look, it's getting a lot of traction, as I said, and you've attracted one of our sponsors, McGain Real Estate. Tell us what you really thought when he wanted to sponsor the soles of your shoes. Show the camera.
I thought he wanted to get me knocked out so that my feet lay flat up and everyone can see McGain. It's not the case. It's a bit of fun, but... Yeah, great supporters of ours, magnificent business here in South Australia, and I appreciate their support. Bit of fun. We had a picture for the advertiser, so it's come up well, haven't they?
Yeah, they look really good. And I know for a fact he's a good man. He genuinely wants you to win.
He sent me a text message today, so I appreciate the support.
Oh, well, he's booked about 100 tickets for a lot of his staff and friends, so they'll all be supporting you. So no pressure. You're up next. Yes. Who you got on the show?
So Josh Gablitz is going to come in from AFL.com.au. Then we'll speak to both clubs who are playing tonight. So Danny Daly's going to join us from the Lions. We'll speak to someone from Collingwood live from the Gabba as well.
Kano, good luck next week. We'll be barracking for you.
Thanks, guys.
That's Kimbo on the
Roach. Happy Easter, everyone.
Yeah, Uru.
That was another edition of The Run Home with Kimbo and the Rooch. If you missed any of the show, just search Kimbo and the Rooch on the SEN app or wherever you find your podcasts.